Welcome to the Home Base Podcast, the podcast where we explore the keys to college success and personal growth. I'm your host, Dr. Ricky Pope, and today we're deep diving into how students can survive and thrive in their college journey. For this first series, we're collaborating with the Young Men of Color Alliance, an organization committed to supporting young men of color through mentorship and community initiatives. Today's episode will focus on giving you the tools and strategies to take control of your academic experience. We will discuss the importance of developing agency and the power to make choices, shape your future, and overcome obstacles. Welcome to the Home Base Podcast. This is a Home Base Podcast in collaboration with the YMOCA.
What's YMOCA?
The Young Men of Color Alliance at San Diego State University. Nephi, you're in your first year here?
I am my first year, current transfer student, transferred from Santa Monica College. Excited to be at San Diego State.
Cool. Darren, what about you?
Same. I transferred last year, and yeah, I'm in my final year. Fourth and final year, graduating next semester. Surprising, really, and like... I don't know. I'm still trying to get used to how crisp my like the quality of this is.
Yeah, no, this is.
I've never heard my voice.
No, listen, our university is not playing around. We got some good stuff here.
Okay. You can always turn your headphones down. Sometimes people get too conscious, so you turn their headphones down, so then they don't focus on it. Cool. If you want, I can tune you down.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine.
All right.
He's settling it in. So you're doing you're computer science over there?
Yeah, I'm studying computer science and. Yeah, hopefully going into like that cybersecurity field after I graduate, and it's been a rewarding time.
So what I'm noticing is Nephi is starting his journey at SDSU, and yours is coming to an end. Yeah,
it's pretty interesting how things align. Then Michael, you are like in between so far, right?
Mm. I think I'm kind of like going up and down the hill.
Up and down the hills. What does that mean?
Well, it's just like. Since I'm switching from computer engineering into information systems, and then there's that entire process, especially like the 2.9 impaction GPA of just trying to switch over into MIS since it's under the Fowler's College of Business. And so I'm like in my third year, but then computer engineering sent me back by like 1 and 1.5 like years just because of the math requirements. It's like, oh, College of Engineering, we want you to do calculus your very first semester. I was like, nope, not doing that.
Yeah, nah. I feel you. That's why I'm an art major.
So what is it like being on this campus? And if you do identify that way as a man of color, like what does that mean to you to be here?
Personally, I think it's a... I don't want to say it's an honor, but I embrace that I am a man of color. And I think that it's very empowering because I guess what I want to do is help people of color, especially men. I grew up with a single mom, so I never really had that father figure. So I want to help people understand that you're not out here by yourself. And it's a community that I feel like people need to be aware that it's there. Because joining this class, the Young Men of Color, has been giving me so many different opportunities. For example, coming here and testing things out and just being a part of a community just in general.
So what do you mean when you woke up this morning, you didn't know you were going to be on a podcast?
Not at all. Yeah, I did not expect that.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Hey, I mean, now that I know that this resource is here,
yeah, right.
Might as well come utilize it because why not?
Yeah, I appreciate you sharing that. That really resonates a lot with how I've come to understand being a man of color. I think one thing that I've really been sitting with, at least, is understanding my experience of it, being someone who's lived most of their lives overseas, and then coming to America, and then understanding like that cultural dynamic of being not just a man of color, but a person of color.
Mm-hmm.
And then to be in a position where like my academic journey is about to end, and then trying to be a peer mentor to first years, it's really been like an enlightening experience of really understanding where I was in their shoes, but then learning like, oh yeah, like when I was in that position, this is what I got out of it, and carrying it over in that sense. So Yeah, I really appreciate you sharing that, because now that's the nice part of this, is just really, like, every day I just learn a little bit more about myself through it, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For me, I guess it's an honor, but it's also a privilege, but it's also, like, a responsibility, especially, like, when we're talking about, like, people of color, men of color specifically, too. It's like, oh, we have this responsibility. Like, I was literally thinking about it this morning. Great power comes with great responsibility, but then can it also be flipped the other way around? And so it's like, we have great responsibility, but it also means that we have this great power, especially as men of color, we are always associated as, like, I was thinking about the fishbowl activity that we had, that one consortium, where one of them said, it's like, oh, the mentality of men of color is there's no one else coming to help. And so then we're the ones who usually have to carry that weight on their shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
And so we always got the responsibility of that. It's expected of us to be the leaders, but what about everybody else? But I think just being a man of color on campus, at the end of the day, it's very welcoming and it's very rewarding, as long as you try give yourself out there and also, like, put your heart first.
Mm.
That's when it really, like, truly pays off, I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I really agree with that, yeah. It's a great point.
I agree, yeah.
I think on that note, like, one thing from class today is, like, being a man of color, it's one thing I really picked up from Angel's presentation is that, like, we're not usually in a space where it's okay to be vulnerable, and that's just as a man. And then to put that in our ethnic identities, it's heightened to, like, a different extent. But at the contrast of it, like, from my background in, like, social work, putting yourself in the most vulnerable spaces is what's, like, most rewarding, not just for you, but for the people around you, right?
Yeah, no, I really appreciate you sharing that and just kind of reflecting on Angel's presentation, right? He was the first to go, and right. He was really vulnerable and open about his story. Mm-hmm. And so what is that like, I guess, just in general, as men with our differing ethnic backgrounds, right, to be vulnerable? So not only do men aren't typically feeling like they can be vulnerable, but then you have the added thing that we're all representing different backgrounds and groups. So what is that like, being in this class and sitting with that?
I mean, just being able to be vulnerable in a room full of men and having that safe space, I guess, just empowers you as an individual, because you're not really given that opportunity outside or even in your own home, because sometimes you have to put all that weight on your shoulders being the man of the house. So you have to take that responsibility, and having that safe space again just gives you an opportunity to just let things go, which I feel like is like a sense of therapy, because that's another thing I feel like not a lot of men of color do or embrace, is therapy or just speaking out to people. So I feel like that was cool of him for being the guinea pig in a sense, but at the same time taking that responsibility and initiative to really just put himself out there and just let his fellow classmates, like, give or get an insight of how he has been, like, his upbringing, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I think to tie it into what my experience has been, it's like, it's kind of seeing how college has become, like, a third place, in the sense that, like, we all, like you shared, we all have, like, our responsibility outside of this. But then when you are at school, it becomes a place where, like, everything else slows down, and then you focus on one specific thing, which is what you're studying, right?
Mm-hmm.
But then with the freedom, or with that comes the freedom of, like, reflecting. And then for me, it's kind of at least shown me, like, what effect everything has had, or everything I was experiencing, like, how does that shape me, and really, like, contemplating and understanding what that dynamic is what that's given me. So, yeah, I think that is, like seeing how that little presentation was just, like, a little seed of that, and then to expound that over, like, the next 3-4 years or however long your academic journey is, it's something that I'm, in hindsight, obviously, is something I'm grateful for. So,
So we're kind of like talking about just like vulnerability.
What is it like to be to exist as a man? Because right, like typically, we're not supposed to be talking about things that be vulnerable, right? Like being your feelings, being your emotions. That's typically something folks are socialized not to do. Mm-hmm. And but then here we are doing it. So what is that like for you, Michael?
I think for me, I kind of like have nurtured it through the years, mm-hmm. especially like someone who was like. Who was drawn to poetry in like the senior year of my high school experience. And so, and like one thing that's always been like a big part of me is like, oh, poetry being either like metaphorical and being reflective on my experiences and my feelings, especially with like how poetry is like, oh, we're putting our feelings into words or just mm-hmm. in a certain way that kind of works for us. And so, and I guess being in like the Y Mocha space and all that and all the different opportunities I've been able to take, it becomes nature to be, like be vulnerable. Or sometimes it's kind of like, you know how the code switching is? Mm. Sometimes, you know, it's like, oh, I'm in this space. Okay, let me take off like my armor. Or let me take off this weight. It's like, okay, I can be vulnerable here. But when I talk about like how it becomes nature too, is sometimes you become drawn to certain people or to a group of friends or this place where I'm able to have a safe space. And so, and that's kind of like how my friend group has become. It's like, oh, many of us are first-gen students, commuter students, or we have different parts or aspects of our intersectionality where it aligns, where it's like, oh, yeah, I just took this test, or it's like, oh, I've been having a bad day, oh, I have car trouble. And it's like, we have that safe space or that kind of like a communal agreement. It's like, okay, I'm here to support you. And so, and I think that vulnerability is built between each other.
Speaking of commuter students, what is that? Like, what do you mean? Like, what's a commuter student?
Commuter student? We don't have the money to afford dorming on campus.
Okay. So you got it. So you live in the local community and then you have to commute to campus. That's what.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, well, yeah. Somewhat local. I live in San Diego, but yeah. I'm like 2 miles away from the border.
Ah, so that's a long drive, right?
It's a commute. Yeah, it's like a 25 minute drive, but on a good day.
But so there's some special, I don't know, barriers, issues. I don't know how you would describe it to being a commuter student, right?
Well, so from my experience as a commuter is I had a car first week of semester, car broke down. So now I'm on public transportation. So my commute now is an hour just on taking two buses just to get to campus and then two buses to get home. So from my experiences midway through the semester so far is that it's exhausting because I get out of class like at 9:50 sometimes and I won't get home till like 11:30. So I'm basically just gassed and then just having to wake up extra early. So it's a lot of time management, but it's also like you got to be optimistic about it as well. You can't like let it deter your end goal, which is get good grades. But commuting is not the easiest task, I guess.
Yeah.
But it's doable.
Yeah. I really... That hits close to home because that's something I've not really been able to like express a lot. Especially like last year before I decided to fully commit, like especially senior year, right? I worked like 30 hours a week on top of classes and then like my job. So I live in IB, so I live pretty close to my club.
Yeah, we're in the same area. I didn't know it's like...
What, that's like, a commute! Oh like, my goodness! It's quite a long way,
right?
Yes, yeah. So I have that. I used to work like... Kenny Macy area, so it's north a little, you know, all this time management and everything. So when I finally made like the sacrifice, like, okay, let me just work less, but, you know, have that free time. And that's why I really resonate with the idea of like making college like a third place. Because having the resources here to really, because at the end of the day, the degree is like a commitment, it's something that you're investing in, right?
Mm-hmm.
I found a way where, okay, if the resource of me wanting to like fit in time for extracurriculars, but on top of what I need to do, how do I dodge traffic that's going to keep me stuck for 2 hours, right? Because that could have been 2 hours studying. Well, that means, okay, let me wake up at like 5:30. So I dodge the traffic. I guess I'll find a way to work out and then just shower at the gym, you know, that kind of a thing. So I think it sucks being a commuter student sometimes, but it's really, really ingrained the idea of like with time management just in a different way compared to like, I don't know, maybe a first year dorming trying to figure out how to juggle classes from a seminar class, you know.
You said making college or campus a third place. What do you mean by that?
So that's something that I picked up from some book I
read. Look at you integrating your learning. Look at that, buddy.
So something I picked up from like a history class. So really the idea of like a third place is like you have your home or you have your work. And then everyone talks about like a work-life balance. And no one really fits, or conventionally, there isn't the idea of fitting yourself in. Like, it's home, but home is different for everyone, especially, like, for me, who's grown up in, like, a multi-generational household, right? And then there's work where people, time and time again, will tell you to, like, separate yourself from work. But there isn't kind of a place to fit yourself in. So that's, like, kind of really fitting in what a third place is. So for most people, it looks like a cafe where they can just unwind and then maybe... you know, pick up like hobbies that they missed out on, or it could be like a creative adventure where, you know what, I'm going to cut out time like twice a week to go, you know, hiking, or like maybe I could work on like a project. For me, what that's looked like is really picking up on the things that I kind of core to my identity, like, you know, just really making sure that like, as I'm juggling all of these multiple responsibilities, there's a place where how I kind of summarize it is like there's three core hobbies you have to have. One that is going to keep you creative. So that's like for me, it's like music and reading, that kind of a thing. And then one to keep you fit. So like basketball, yeah. And then one to, you know, make sure you got a, like food on the plate, roof over your head. So what are you passionate about, right? So just having a place that supports that and keeps that functioning is what I see like as a third place.
Thank you. So before we wrap this episode up, let's go around. What's the takeaway message for today's podcast episode? What would you say?
Mike.
I don't know. Michael, Darren, Nephi?
Well, first off, this is doable. We have a place to actually do this. Yeah. So I think aside from the actual like meat of what we're talking about, the technical aspect of it, which I think is awesome. And yeah, I think it's doable.
For sure. I think main takeaway is to find that room that you haven't gone into and say hi to people.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, this is really cool from all the centers and just like, yeah, university does provide more than you think and more than
there's
you can
a ton
imagine.
Of resources on campus.
No, literally.
Sure. Yeah.
You can't tell, but I'm very, very excited, especially like with all this technology and stuff. Because like when I be making my own videos or what I'm planning on doing, is like you literally have me have my phone on a tripod. In other words, I have my old phone, which I would use as a microphone, and then I would have to get the MP3 file and just match it up onto like Premiere Pro, and you just see me just zooming in and zooming in, just matching it. But like, I don't know, this makes me very happy.
Sweet.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's the first episode of the Home Base Podcast. Thanks for hanging out with us. Like, follow, subscribe.
Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Cool. Thanks for having us.
The Home Base Podcast is a student success podcast recorded at the Digital Humanities Center at San Diego State University Library. Like, follow, subscribe. Find us on IG at SDSU_homebase.